This is the Happy Rant Sports Podcast, in which Ted Cluck and Barnabas Piper rant about old sports, new sports, sports books, sports movies, and anything else related to sports that they feel like. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in our special Destin condo studio by my good friend, my partner in radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, we said goodbye to Ronald today, Ronnie Tarmac.
Is in fact hitting the tarmac.
Hitting the tarmac as we speak, rolling that bag down the jetway, doing what he loves to do best, which is boarding a flight and going somewhere else. But with Ronnie out of the picture, Pipe, we are free to talk sports, which is what we're going to do at length today. One of our favorite times of the year, NFL free agency and the run-up to the draft. We've been chopping it up about this stuff all weekend in the car and just sitting around, but there's been massive player movement. And I want to go just kind of conference by conference here, team by team, and we can talk about what we like and who got better. So let's start with a team that I care about, primarily because my son cares about them, and it's the New England Patriots. Also Jared Wilson's favorite team. Is Jared more of a Tom Brady guy or
no,
or
he's
Patriots?
Purely a Tom Brady guy.
Okay, so his loyalties are with Tom.
Yes, he is now a Tampa fan because of Tom.
What do we think of Jared's love of Tom? Is that a weird one for you?
It's weird to me simply because that's not usually how NFL fandom works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm used to that in NBA fandom. Mm-hmm. NBA fandom is very player-based. LeBron fans, Steph mm-hmm. fans, whatever. In the NFL, usually a team-based, and when a guy leaves, you're like, I hate that guy.
Exactly. You know? I want to see that guy lose.
Yeah. I no longer like him. I miss him. I wish he was still on my team, but also I hate him. It's like, you know, it's like the ex-girlfriend you sort of still have a thing for.
Exactly.
But no, Jared is just following Tom around with fandom. I don't understand it because it's not how my mind works. I am not.
Yeah.
I'm not a player fan. I'm a fan of the Vikings.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, in that sense, I'm a fan of Tom. Like, watching mm-hmm. him do what he did in Tampa this year.
Yeah, watching him play is fun.
Pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, for sure. Great player. Well, the Pats, man, the cupboard was bare last year. We think of them as being awful, but they still won 7 games. So,
which is a testament to entirely their defense.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they threw for 8 touchdown passes last year. Or Cam did. So,
not
a great year for him.
Yeah, the offense was completely forgettable. The defense was serviceable, even without a lot of their COVID guys. So let's kind of run through the high points here for the Pats. And it's been funny hearing people respond to the New England, like, free agency bonanza.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, it's not like they were going to not spend the money.
Yeah.
They had the money. They had the cap space. They had a lot of holes to fill.
Well, there's a couple things to remember. One is all NFL deals are fake.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
The only number to look at is guaranteed money.
Yep.
And even that, there's all sorts of fluidity in because they can push it. They can move it up.
Right.
There's a reason why the Saints could be like $85 million over the cap and then all of a sudden sign 5 free agents. How?
Exactly.
Because none of these deals count.
Exactly.
The second thing to remember is that projections say that in the next year or two, the cap is going to jump by about $60 million.
For sure.
So a deal that looks bad today will fit right nicely into a salary cap.
Absolutely.
Next year. So I think that both of those, like, they, if you look at some of these deals and go, wait, his cap hit's going to be $30 million next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the cap's going up by 60, so it's not that big of a deal.
So when I look at the NFC East, Pipe, or the AFC East, rather, I actually think the Bills kind of stayed the same, and we can talk about what the Bills did. I think the Dolphins basically stayed the same so far.
I will say with the Dolphins, the ones... They signed the one signing they made that moved the needle was they just signed Will Fuller.
Yeah.
And Will Fuller is a perpetual frustrating player because you get 5 brilliant games out of him, a few that he kind of doesn't show up, and then he's injured or suspended. Last year he was healthy the whole year, was killing it, and then gets suspended.
Yeah.
But he's exactly the kind of player that they need to kind of give Tua a chance to show who he is. Like, they just need more weapons.
For sure. And he's a round out the receiving core guy. And when he's right, He's a field flipper in terms of what he opens up for other people, so, in terms of what in addition yeah. to what he gets for himself.
With him, DeVante Parker, Mike Gesicki,
right?
They have a really solid baseline for a good offense.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably still use one or two more weapons. Hopefully, they go that way in the draft. But
yeah. I like Gesicki, dude. I'm a Gesicki guy. He reminds me of like Todd Heap, if you remember that tight end from the early 2000s.
I think Gesicki's more athletic.
He might be. Yeah.
I don't know that he's like downfield fast athletic, but he's like long, springy, jump ball athletic.
Yeah, he can work the seams a little bit.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, Fuller signed to a 1-year, $10 million deal,
mm-hmm.
which is like, he might not live up to it, but if he's good, he's going to be good, worth twice that. So it's kind of a, and if he sucks, like, okay, well, he's off the books next year. So
exactly.
Yeah. It seems like a good move for them.
Yeah. The Fuller thing is interesting. I would say they got worse at backup quarterback. Moving on from Ryan Fitzpatrick, they bring in Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett is going to be one of those guys who finishes his career and is like, wait, he made $70 million as a backup quarterback
Absolutely.
Or something? And, yeah, you know, he'll start a handful of games. He was the starter for Indy. He's never going to be the guy you want starting.
Yeah.
But as a Vikings fan, I would much rather have him as a backup than Sean Mannion, for example.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Because Sean Mannion, you don't know if he's... Like an NFL player.
Yeah, he's not an NFL player.
Right.
Jacoby Brissett is absolutely an NFL player, but he's probably not as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Brissett is the Mike Tomczak of today. You know, just kind of the serviceable backup of this moment.
Yeah.
The Bills bring in Mitchell Trubisky to back up Josh Allen, which makes sense given what they like to do offensively. That's fine. They bring in Emmanuel Sanders.
I like that move because they had John Brown, who I think is – John Brown's better at certain things.
Yeah.
But he – like, Sanders is – it's kind of a better complete the – like, in their offense.
Yeah.
He's a better kind of complete the field kind of guy, I think. Still a very useful player. Like, he's going to get – you know, he's going to do 45 to 60 catches, 500 to 750 yards, and somewhere between 3 and 7 touchdowns. But, like, just a useful player.
Playing opposite Stephon Diggs is going to be nice for him. I think we'll see a good...
Yeah, and they still have... why am I blanking on his name? Is it Beasley?
Yeah, Cole Beasley.
I still picture him as a Cowboy. But, yeah, Cole Beasley, who's a great slot guy.
Quietly racked up, like, a pretty amazing statistical run last year.
Yeah, he had a big year and more touchdowns than he used to. Yeah, he's a good player.
So let's talk Pats in that division.
Yes.
So you've got all the COVID guys coming back on defense. So Dante Hightower is back. A lot of the other COVID guys who started for them are coming back. They re-signed David Andrews on the offensive line, which I really like. They barely had him available last year because of injuries.
Reacquire Trent Brown.
They get Trent Brown in a trade, who's elite at the tackle position.
And Trent Brown was good with the Raiders.
Yeah.
But he became elite with the Pats. Like, he knows, like, there's a continuity there that works really well.
Yeah. So I think they get better on the offensive line despite losing Joe Tooney. Defensively, they bring in Devon Godshaw from the Dolphins, which is quietly one of those, like, three technique guys who I think can be really effective. I mean, he's a B type guy. He's not, you know, he's not in that, like.
And it's a 2-year, $9 million deal $9 million guaranteed. So, like, even if he's a backup, you're paying $4.5 million a year for a backup tackle. That's not awesome, but it's not the end of the world. And if he's like starter quality, great.
Classic Patriots deal. I want to talk about two off-ball linebackers who I really like, who they brought in, both from the Dolphins, Raekwon McMillan and Kyle Van Noy. You know, Van Noy is your ultimate kind of system linebacker.
Did Van Noy used to be on the Pats?
He was on the Pats. He went to the Lions for a forgettable season or two. Played really well with Miami last year under Flores, and now he's back. Raekwon McMillan is kind of your classic 2021 fast, almost like a strong safety off-ball linebacker type. So he ups the speed quotient at that level of their defense in an interesting way to me. And then the two receivers, the two tight ends, rather, two receivers, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. The Patriots took two bites of the apple in the third round at tight end, and then they signed two pretty elite guys here. So.
I think I don't hate these signings because a handful of thoughts. First of all, to anybody who's inclined to go, oh, this is like Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, may he rest in peace. No, it's not. These are two good tight ends. Those were two of the best.
They were freaks for what they did. Yeah. So Hernandez
Gronk is the best tight end ever, beside of Tony Gonzalez.
Like, sure.
And I think he's better than Tony Gonzalez, just didn't have the longevity.
Yeah, for sure. Gonzalez was a little better at having the type of game that would age well.
Well, Gonzalez kind of introduced the move tight end. Like
totally.
Every tight end prior to him had been an inline tight end, and he became like the pseudo slot guy, which I think is how they see Jonnu Smith, which makes sense because Jonnu Smith's a big play guy.
Like, yeah, he is.
Having watched him on the Titans, you and I have both been forced to watch him in this ugly two-tone blue. I'm mostly excited to see him in a uniform that's not heinous.
Yes.
He's a really good player.
Yeah. Yeah, he ups the team speed. He can be that, like, over the middle kind of presence that Hernandez was. And Hunter Henry, to me, he's more of a Jason Witten type. That's not to disparage. I mean, Witten was a tremendous player.
He's like a 90 catch guy for eight straight years or something.
Not a Gronk-esque freak, but is going to do really good things in this offense potentially.
And Cam can't throw downfield anymore with any consistency. So having guys who are seam guys, having guys who are kind of open in the flats guys.
To me,
thing, like, that's good.
All these receiver signings are scheme it open type moves. And you got to scheme people open for Cam.
The move that I hate that they made is 2 years, $26 million for
Nelson Aguilar.
For Nelson Aguilar. Because it's a base salary of $11 million. Nelson Aguilar is available in every third round of every NFL draft. Now, to be fair, nobody sucks at drafting receivers more than the Patriots.
That's true.
They have not drafted a good wide receiver since.
Yeah, how far back do we have to go? Irving Fryer? I mean, there's got to be one after Irving Fryer.
Did they draft Troy Brown?
Yes. Or was he a free agent? Was he an undrafted free agent?
Yeah, I mean, they've had good wide receivers, but like, they traded for Wes Welker.
That's right.
They either traded or signed Randy Moss as a free. No, they traded for him from the Raiders.
Danny Amendola had been with the Rams and the Cowboys before.
Julian Edelman came to them in the draft, but he was a college quarterback.
He was a college quarterback converted.
Yeah. And like so here's the other thing. It's like Nelson Aguilar, there's nothing special about Nelson Aguilar.
No.
He had his best year ever last year.
Yeah.
And was fine.
Yeah.
Like, good year, not great.
Yeah.
And with the wide receiver market, what it was, like, I would have rather them signed Will Fuller for the 1 year $11 million than this for Nelson Aguilar. Like, this is not a good deal.
I'm with you. Yeah, he doesn't move the needle for me. I like the Kendrick Bourne thing, just as a gadgety type guy.
Yeah, it's entirely fine.
But, it's really going to ride on these two tight ends and the run game. I think people forget that the Patriots have invested pretty heavily in the running back position. So between Cam Newton, Damian Harris, the other guy from Georgia, help me out. I can see him.
Sony Michel.
You know, this is a team that's going to run the ball a lot.
That actually might be their biggest weakness right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any running backs who can do more than one thing.
That's right.
So Damian Harris, line him up, run him downhill.
Right.
Sony Michel can't catch either. James White only can catch the ball.
Yeah. Like, so it's the Antoine Smith model at running back. And I think Antoine Smith predated Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. Yeah. I don't remember who was in the backfield in that era.
Corey Dillon was there for a little while.
Corey Dillon predated them too.
They had...
It's been kind of a revolving door.
They had a bunch of little running backs for a while. They had big tight ends and little running backs.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking at Nelson Aguilar's stats from last year. Played all 16 games, started 13 of them. Fewer than 50 receptions.
Yeah.
But he was kind of a downfield threat. Normally, he had been kind of a possession guy.
Right.
Earlier, well, as much as a guy who drops the ball all the time can be a possession guy. He had almost 900 yards, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Averaged 18 yards a catch, which is great. Eight touchdowns, which is great. But like, they're paying a premium for a guy who had never done this before.
Right.
He had averaged about 50 catches and 650 yards.
Right.
And, you know, five touchdowns previously. Like, he's
a two. He's a Corey Davis type.
He's a three.
Yeah, he's a three.
Like, in today's NFL, a two is a 1,000-yard receiver borderline.
So help me with this. If you're Belichick and you've got all that cap space, why are you not in the Kenny Galladay sweepstakes? Like, what's the knock on Galladay
that keeps
you out of that market?
Bill Belichick has the weirdest relationship with wide receivers of anybody I've ever seen. So think of every successful wide receiver they have ever had. They've invested jack crap in them.
That's true.
So
Yeah, they get Randy Moss even at the bottom of the barrel.
They traded like a third round pick for him right. or something after he was with the Raiders, and he kind of dogged it.
Yeah, he kind of he had a protest season with the Raiders.
He was still good with the Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
He just was like, I don't want to be here, and I quit.
He would play every third play.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there were questions of if he was done at that point.
Totally.
Wes Welker, Julian Edelman. You go back and you get to like the – they had, who did they have? They had David I'm blanking. They had a bunch of like little possession guys. Yeah. Troy Brown.
Yep.
None of those guys were big money guys.
Yeah, they were value guys.
You know, then they've tried the guys at the end of their career. They had Chad Ochocinco. They had Reggie Wayne. No, neither of whom did anything.
Didn't work.
And so yeah, they're not a good wide receiver team.
Right.
They're not good at figuring out how to invest in wide receivers. High draft picks never work out. Lots of money never works out.
Yeah.
So I don't think Bill Belichick knows what to do with receivers.
Yeah, or maybe it's a philosophical situation where he says, I have a better chance at getting a more noticeable matchup with a tight end who brings certain qualities to the table, so he's more comfortable investing there. I mean, he played in a division with Darrell Revis for years where, you know, his best receiver may have been getting taken away by the other team's best corner, and for him... Maybe it's a matter of opportunity, right? Maybe he just feels like a Jonnu Smith, a Hunter Henry, they give me more opportunities to exploit things when defensively.
I think there's also something to be said here that this is a bridge year for them. So the fact that their quarterback is making a base salary of $5 million.
He's getting backup money.
He's a bridge quarterback. So yeah. They may not even want him to start the whole year. They may go in on a quarterback high in the draft and start him later. Mm-hmm. All of which means that they're going to revamp their offense next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can revamp an offense around two really good tight ends, especially if one of them's more of a move tight end. Mm-hmm. And if Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar are receivers 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, you're fine.
Yeah.
If the cap jumps by a ton, here's the thing. You're moving from Cam Newton to a rookie quarterback deal.
Yeah.
So you still have room to operate. So this is not going to hurt them long term.
Right.
I just think Nelson Aguilar's a dumb signing.
Yeah.
Like, there are 15 better receivers on the market than him.
Sure.
I don't know who they all are, but he's not good.
So. Well, there's at least three, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny Galladay, Will Fuller. I'm sure there are a few others that we would rather have than Nelson Aguilar.
And listeners, if you hear something that sounds a lot like thunder... It's not thunder. It's the 4-year-old who's in the condo upstairs crashing their patio door shut repeatedly.
Exactly. It's been the soundtrack of our life for the last 3 days.
Pay no mind to the petulant child crashing doors.
Dude, so the other team with mad cap space in this offseason was the Jets. And I think we all kind of expect big things from the Jets. They've not done much this offseason besides sign Carl Lawson, who is sort of the sexy pass rusher of the moment.
I like what they did. So
talk me through it. Talk me through what you like.
So
I'm not a Corey Davis guy, but you might be.
I am a Corey Davis guy in the right context.
Uh-huh.
So last year, Corey Davis was like a number 5 overall pick 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming off a rookie deal. He was with the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans, he didn't become their like explosive number 1, but also they were never an open it up and throw 45 times offense. So, but he had a really good year last year.
Yeah.
He has gained the reputation as kind of the perfect number 2 wide receiver, where he can be that 900 yards and 8 touchdowns guy.
Yeah.
And he's a grinder.
Yeah.
And he's a really good blocker.
That's true.
Which is not a thing you sign a receiver for.
No, but you always notice it when it's there.
It really helps an offense.
Yeah.
I think Lawson and Jared Davis
are
good signings. So Jared Davis is a 1-year 7.
Talk me through that, because we had him in Detroit and he was terrible. But I wonder if that's more of a function of... the Lions being a disaster.
Nobody should be judged for being bad in Detroit.
That was my point. Yeah,
it's like being bad on the Clippers in the mid-90s or something.
It's almost like being Sam Darnold right now, where you look at him and you go, he's still pretty young, still pretty toolsy. Let's give him a recess.
So I don't know what the Jets are going to do at quarterback. They haven't traded Darnold, so the indication is they're going to give him a shot.
Yeah.
I think this is a good start to give him a shot, because they also signed Keelan Cole, who is a great sort of
third receiver type.
Receiver slot guy. Corey Davis is reliable. They have, I never remember his name, but he's also a slot guy.
Yeah.
Who caught like 16 passes in a couple games last year.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
They have the guy they drafted from Baylor last year.
Yeah. Denzel Mims. Nice player. Yeah.
and they have a tight end who is
Chris Herndon.
Yeah, who has a reputation as like athletic but kind of undervalued. So like they have the pieces for a workable passing
game. They have an elite left tackle. They might draft another elite tackle if they stay with Darnold.
If they don't go with the quarterback.
They could get Najee Harris in the draft and kind of have a really fun, really scary offense.
And I think they have two or three first round picks.
They do. So they've got mad capital.
I think Lawson's really good. 3 years and $45 million with $30 million guaranteed is not an overpay at all for a guy who's he's probably a top 15 pass rusher, but he's not a top 5 pass rusher.
Right. Yeah. So he's 1B,
he's
right?
He's a great piece in your defense. And Jared Davis is like a 1 year $7 million deal is if it doesn't work out, oh well. If it does work out, you might have gotten one of the kind of sneaky athletic off-ball linebackers who just needed to be coached. And their new coach was the Niners defensive coordinator, correct me if I'm wrong, with Patrick
Willis. Who's made careers out of off-ball linebackers. Yeah,
Fred Warner and these other guys. And so, like, he might be able to put Davis in a position to really thrive.
They bring back Marcus May, who had an incredible season.
And here's the other thing. What I love about this is they have a ton of draft assets. They have a ton of cap room. They're not burning them on players that you go, just because you, like, you know, kind of the Bengals or the whatever move where they just, like, the Raiders, we'll talk about them.
Right.
No, we got to fill our cap, and you're like, no. You need to build a team. This feels like building a team.
It feels sensible, and even if Jared Davis isn't good, it's a bargain deal. So who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
franchise tag on Marcus May is like I dig franchise tagging good safeties.
I do too. Yeah,
because the franchise number is like $11 million, which is doable.
Still a bargain.
Can work out a long term deal.
Yep.
Or if like the Vikings that did with Anthony Harris last year, he turns out to have a bad year, you let him walk.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
I think what the Jets are doing is sensible. It's not brilliant, but it's sensible.
I think it's sensible, and you like to see that from the Jets. Yeah. And I think as far as fun teams on the side that you could kind of decide to care about a little bit, you could do worse than the Jets.
The Jets are a team that the league is always more fun when the Jets are good.
I'm buying more Jets stock than I'm buying Jag stock at this point.
Yes. They have an actual NFL coach as opposed to like a former college coach. So
a former college coach who's going to quit 9 games into the season if it's not going well.
Yeah, he's going to be like, oh, I need more time with my family and
exactly.
have some health issues. Mainly, I'm really sick from losing a lot.
Exactly. All right, Pipe, let's go to the AFC North.
All right.
The interesting teams here, actually, they're all kind of interesting for different reasons.
Some vaguely interesting things.
Yeah. I mean, the Bengals. We can go quick on the Bengals. They went after the fool's gold and Trey Hendrickson. I'm not a Trey Hendrickson guy.
The issue with that is that they gave him the exact same deal as Carl Lawson got.
Why not just keep Carl Lawson?
And Carl Lawson's a better player.
Exactly.
Trey Hendrickson was the third best player on a good defensive line, and so he racked up all like the junk sacks.
It's kind of like when you have hot, charismatic friends. You get access to the kind of girls that they get access to, and you get some like trickle-down interest. That was Trey Hendrickson last year. You know, when you've got, you know, Cameron Jordan and elite players rushing the passer, and you're going to get some hustle sacks, cleanup sacks.
And good defensive backs so you can get to him.
That's right.
I think the one signing they made that I like a lot, surprisingly enough, is Riley Reiff.
I'm with you. I was going to go the Riley Reiff
route. Riley Reiff was the Vikings' left tackle. The Vikings have had a dog crap offensive line for the last few years. However, Reef has been not a problem.
He gives them a competent NFL player on the offensive line, which they have lacked.
I think they have a good right tackle. They've invested some. They can get something in the draft.
Yep.
Reef, it's a one-year, $7 million deal. And so he is going to give them the kind of play that's like, he's fine.
Yeah.
When you have him, you want someone better. When you don't have him, you miss him.
Totally, dude.
And so, like, the Vikings are going to have to really hustle and stretch to figure out how to fill that. Now, maybe Ezra Cleveland, who they drafted last year, can step in, but like Reef's gonna be good for Joe Burrow.
He really is,
and he doesn't ever cause problems on a team. He's not like a diva player. He's just
solid,
a good professional.
Another former Detroit Lion. I did a thought experiment last season. It might have been Thanksgiving with my friend Glenn, who played in the NFL. We created a whole roster, a starting 22 of guys who were with the Lions, who were flourishing in other teams. And Riley Reiff was one of our starters.
And this is why nobody can be judged for being bad on the Lions.
That's right.
The Lions make players bad.
They
do.
That's
what they do.
And they all move on and
have
productive
careers.
Which
is why Matt Stafford, like, if you're a betting person, you don't encourage this behavior. But if you were a betting person, I would say go throw $10 down on Matt Stafford to win NFL MVP this year.
Sure.
Like, his
absolutely.
Odds are going to be really in your favor.
Yeah.
And he just left the Lions, which means he's going to be way better.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Let's look at Cleveland. Cleveland is the team that is kind of the sexy, like, formerly all-star kind of roster that, that everybody turned heads with, you know, a year or two ago. But re-sign Rashard Higgins, eh.
Well, that's, I mean, I think that's good because, like, continuity on that offense is good. Baker showed that he could manage that offense. They could be effective. So, like, keeping that together is not bad. And Higgins is a solid player. That's good.
They get a cheap Takaris McKinley, whatever. You know, so, if they get anything about
it. Yeah, Tack McKinley was a high draft pick. And they just, they need defensive depth. So, like, if he shows them something, great. If he doesn't, like, whatever.
If you're a Browns fan, you're talking yourself into this being awesome. But
yeah, you're looking at his draft status, not his talent.
Exactly.
Malik Jackson, however... that 1 year deal I think is that's a great flyer.
It is.
So he was let go by Denver, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and has had some fantastic seasons.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's still on top of his game, but like again, they had one great defensive lineman and they just needed more. And I think Malik Jackson's gonna come in and make a difference for them.
Juju Smith-Schuster re-signing with Pittsburgh.
Oh, one more Browns one. All of the pundits are saying that John Johnson was one of the best signings because they were so bad at the back end of their defense. So John Johnson's a safety, signed away from the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. One, I don't trust any defensive back who gets to play next to Jalen Ramsey.
Totally.
Because Jalen Ramsey shuts down half the
and
field.
Play behind and Aaron Donald.
Play behind Aaron Donald. That's it. So I don't know if John Johnson is good. Second of all, John Johnson is not the name of an all-pro anything.
No, it isn't. Yeah, that's it.
John Johnson is in the name of like... a good accountant.
It's a troubling name.
His parents didn't try.
It conveys a lack of creativity on the parent side. Yeah. I have concerns.
If his parents didn't try, it feels like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm not sure this is as good of a signing as everybody thinks.
Anyway. The only way I can live with it, if it's a family name, if his grandfather was John Johnson and they really love him.
If he's John Johnson the fourth, like you have a number to that, it becomes something else altogether.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If you're a Steelers fan, and I have friends who are Steelers fans who are listeners, how are you like... what are you talking yourself into at this point with this team?
The fact that Ben Roethlisberger is not a corpse.
Okay.
Like, that's the only thing you have. Like, here's the thing. This team lives and dies on Ben Roethlisberger.
It does.
Which is not a great statement since it's not 2014.
He's kind of a corpse who won't go away.
He needs to go away.
They're in Ben Roethlisberger purgatory right now. And as such, they can't rebuild.
They let their left tackle go.
Yeah.
Villanueva. I don't think he's signed anywhere. I mean,
he was fine. He's
Riley Reifish.
He was kind of Mendoza line left tackle.
Yeah, he's Riley Reifish, except that he played next to a really good offensive line.
Yeah.
But I think they also lost their left guard and their center.
Yeah, their center retired.
Retired, yeah. Yep. And then their left guard, I think, left in free agency.
Yeah.
And so the offensive line was a strength of that offense for years.
Yeah.
And continuity, and that's done. They have a quarterback who's old as dirt and fat.
Yeah.
They have wide receivers who are, like, Juju Smith-Schuster was great when he played across from Antonio Brown, and then he wasn't good. Like, they don't have anything on offense that makes me excited.
They could be 3-13.
Yeah, what's the dude they got from Notre Dame? Is it Claypool? Chase Claypool?
Yeah, Claypool. Like,
Claypool, I think, is a really talented big play receiver.
Yeah. He's also a guy, though, that needs pieces around him to, like... draw the coverage away so that he can win.
He seems a little bit like early career Kenny Golladay to me.
He does. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, like, he might be great, but, yeah, I don't know. I
look at that division.
Oof, the Steelers are just – I wouldn't be – I think their ceiling
– Yeah.
Their ceiling is 10 wins if everything clicks.
If everything goes right.
Their floor is 4.
4. 4-12.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it breaking where the Bengals kind of take a hop – Joe Burrow is fun. Maybe they put an offensive line around him. They could ascend. The Browns are going to be good.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the Ravens, have we?
Yeah, the Ravens are going to be...
The Ravens have done nothing exciting. They signed...
Kevin Zeitler, I like.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
They signed Kevin Zeitler, which is great because their offensive line wasn't... They lost... who's their great guard? Dang it. He retired last year.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, anyway... Yeah. They lost a really good guard who retired. It's going to come to me later.
Yeah.
There was a big hole. They replaced him with Zeitler, who is above average, but not great.
Totally.
And It's only $16 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
This deal makes me mad.
Yes. This is the deal your team should have made.
The Vikings should have offered him $9 million a year. Like, they should have just been like,
there's a world in which
just take, yeah.
The Vikings could have had Kevin Zeitler and Rodney Hudson this offseason, and you would be dancing a jig, and it would have moved the needle.
Yeah, and Zeitler would have made me happier because he's a guard. Marshall right. Yonda.
Marshall Yonda, dude, yeah. was a savage.
Yeah, and he retired when he was still really good. I think he was just tired of his body breaking down.
That
he,
guy could play anywhere in the offensive line.
Yeah, the, Google lists him as a tackle, which is inaccurate.
Because he was really a guard.
But he filled in a tackle.
He filled in at center. He filled in a tackle. Dude, during COVID, I like took a deep dive into Marshall Yonda tape. And that's a pleasure. If you like offensive line play, that guy was just a beast.
The Ravens did lose Matthew Judon to the Patriots, which I think the Patriots overpaid for him.
Yeah.
But again, that's going to look fine once the cap goes up.
Right.
It's going to hurt the Ravens because he was great in their system.
I'll say this. Of the edge guys, I was the most bullish on Judon because he does everything. Like, he can win against the run. He's an edge setter.
See, I like Lawson better.
Okay.
Because I think Lawson is a three, like he's a true three down defensive end.
I guess, and for the Pats, I like Judon better.
Yeah, I could see that because they're good with gadget guys.
Right,
he
right.
He can be a bit of a Swiss Army knife.
He strikes me as like Rob Ninkovich-y for the Pats.
The Steelers also lost Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
Which, again, Bud Dupree's a system guy.
Yeah.
But their system was really good and he was good in it.
He
and
was.
Now they lost a talented player. And so, I.
The needle is trending downward for the Steelers.
The Steelers have been Big Ben is holding them hostage.
Right.
Because if he had decided to retire, they could have gone into full rebuild mode.
Totally.
Don't re-sign any of their expensive guys.
Yeah.
You know, just struggle for a year, kind of fill in. Now they have to go for it again.
Yeah.
The best case scenario for them is like, I guess it's 10-7 now because they added a game to the season. That's going to change
that's weird,
NFL
dude.
Math.
Yeah. I know. That's so weird.
But like, and so maybe 11 wins because it's a 17. So maybe 11-6 or whatever. But that's best case scenario.
Let's talk AFC South because there's so many fascinating situations in this division. And the Titans might be the least interesting team in it in the sense that Houston is a disaster, but they've signed like 20 guys. I mean, they're taking incredible swings here.
And I hate all of them.
I don't hate all of them. I want to talk about one that I really like. And it's Philip Lindsay. So that running back room.
I missed that one. Because that,
that one
like
just
today.
Happened like last night.
Yesterday I saw that he was released.
So the running back room has Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, and.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Philip Lindsay is the best running back on that roster, but they just traded.
For David Johnson.
They traded DeAndre Hopkins for him.
That's where I was going. Phil Lindsay is going to turn out to be the best running back on that team. Despite all the capital that they put into other guys.
Bill O'Brien ruined this franchise for like 5 years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What a disaster.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they signed a bunch of like depth guys.
Yeah.
I think
they signed a bunch of guys that aren't going to be there in 2 years.
Marcus Cannon at offensive tackle is a usable player.
He's usable.
Dante Moncrief stinks.
Yeah.
Andre Roberts, not good. Mark Ingram still has something left in the tank. The fact that they paid money for Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay while they have...
It makes no sense.
What?
Mark Ingram, old. Marcus Cannon, old. Justin Britt, old. And I don't hate these guys for what they are. Even Christian Kirksey, probably on the downside of it.
Yeah, at some level, they're just like, we gotta keep...
We have to put a team on the field.
We gotta get Deshaun Watson,
keep
him alive. But I'm like, if he decides he's ever gonna not hold out, he's, you know... Trading for Shaq Lawson, they traded
Bernardrick McKinney.
That's whatever. That's a lateral move. I'd rather have a good defensive lineman than a good linebacker, generally speaking, in today's league.
Let's talk about Carson Wentz, dude. Where are you at on that? The Colts have signed two guys.
Yeah, let's get to the Colts. That's
they re-signed Marlon Mack, and they get Carson Wentz in a trade. I love this trade just from a value standpoint.
So here's the thing. His contract is not great.
Right.
But as a Vikings fan,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather have Carson Wentz on his contract than
certainly.
Kirk Cousins on his contract.
100%.
And when the cap jumps next year, that contract's going to look way better.
Yeah.
Or at least way less bad.
Yeah.
Re-signing Marlon Mack is great because they have Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Mack's coming off an injury. But if you have like a 1A and a 1B,
he's a great changeup. Great changeup.
And he's been really productive when he's healthy.
Yeah.
He can't catch the ball for anything. But
fun little receiving core, though, for that.
I think they definitely need some more weapons on the outside.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they might go after, like, a Will Fuller or something.
I thought so, too. Yeah. T.Y. Hilton, maybe a little corpsey at this point.
Well, it's hard to tell. Like he might be corpsey, but also Philip Rivers was very corpsey.
That's it. So Phil Rivers couldn't throw the ball from one end of this condo to the other.
Props to Philip Rivers. The fact that he still had a productive season despite having an utter spaghetti noodle of an arm.
Totally.
It was just guile and smarts and
it was.
Whatever.
I'm a big Phil guy, man. I hate to see him go.
Yeah, I think trading for Carson Wentz is exactly the right gamble for them because they didn't trade any first round picks.
Yeah.
It's just money.
Yeah.
And Carson Wentz has played at an MVP level.
Yeah.
And I think people underrate how utter trash the Eagles offensive roster has been for the last 3 years.
It's been so bad. And even the O-line, which was like the fillet of that offense, they were all hurt last year.
They've been hurt for the last two or three years.
Yeah.
Their best receiver, like, they don't know how to draft receivers.
Their best receiver was Greg Ward, who was like an XFL guy.
Their tight ends were mostly injured.
Yeah.
There was Zach Ertz and Dallas
Goedert.
Goedert missed time. Ertz missed time.
Their best player was the running back, and they refused to hand the ball to him, which made me so angry on his behalf.
Miles Sanders is a really good running back, and they just wouldn't use him. So, and that's the other thing is, after that Super Bowl win, their offensive coaches, Frank Reich, left.
Yeah.
The Colts have been good under Frank Reich. The Eagles have been terrible under Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Who was the real brains behind that?
Exactly.
You know, John DeFilippo was part of that passing game. He's gone and he's been an offensive coordinator elsewhere. He hasn't been great, but like he contributed.
Totally.
So I really the Colts have proven themselves to be a really stable organization recently.
Yeah.
Which means I think Carson Wentz might like
if he's going to flourish anywhere, I think he flourishes here.
Yeah. Like what I said about Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Throw another $10 on Carson Wentz.
That's it. This will be the best version of Carson Wentz that we've seen in a while.
Since 2017, yeah.
I think as a function of the rest of the division being, you know, on a spectrum from disastrous to just, I think the Colts could have a great season. Jacksonville
The Colts should easily win 13 or 14 games.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say 12 games as a conservative, right?
I'm making the mental adjustment to a 17 game season.
Yeah, well
so
done.
13 and 4.
Yeah, I can see it.
Seems like a good bet for them.
Jacksonville has signed a ton of guys. They have a ton of cap space.
Do any of them matter?
They do not.
Two of them do.
The only guy that matters to me here is Marvin Jones.
Yes,
I like.
Yeah.
I
think in the defensive backfield, Shaquille Griffin and Rayshon Jenkins are like worthwhile starters.
I think they are. Yeah, you're going to play a lot of zone with Shaquille Griffin. It's fine.
Re-signing Cam Robinson is good because it keeps an offensive line that was adequate.
Yeah.
Like, they have a professional offensive line.
But make no mistake about it, Cam Robinson is just adequate at best.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's a franchise tag, which means it's a one-year thing while we have money.
That's right.
We'll fill this spot or whatever, but like
fill this spot, see what happens next year.
The reason I liked that move, as like, that's smart. They're about to draft a quarterback number one overall.
Right.
Bringing that guy in.
Continuity makes sense.
Like, you run the David Carr risk or the Kyler Murray risk if you have a trash offensive line.
Totally. So. Let's talk Titans, dude. It's our team.
Yeah, do we have to?
Their free agency period has mirrored their uniform in the sense that it inspires...
That I hate it?
Yeah. It inspires nothing in us. I think the biggest loss of the offseason to the Titans was their offensive coordinator going to Atlanta as a head coach.
Yeah.
And I think that's the void that we're going to see the most.
We also realized this year their biggest loss was their defensive coordinator from the previous year retiring in Dean Pease.
Yeah.
Because their head coach has never led a defense better than like 25th in the league.
Yeah.
And I think they were like 28th or 29th. So
yeah. Bad defense. You know, Bud Dupree, I think the perception and the reality thing with Bud Dupree is a little bit different. I don't think he's going to be a bust on the level of Jadeveon Clowney, but I do think Bud Dupree is a scheme guy. The thing I like about Bud Dupree, it's kind of what I like about Matt Judon, is that he is a complete player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Mike Vrabel-esque.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't – like, Clowney wasn't great with the Titans, but neither was anybody else on defense.
Yeah.
Clowney has never lived up to his draft billing.
Right.
But he has been a really good NFL player.
Yeah. If Clowney hadn't been the sensation that he was coming out of college, we would look at his career as fine.
And frankly, in college, his sensation was like four highlights.
Exactly.
It was the Michigan hit. The one where he decapitated a guy.
Clowney was a media creation.
Yeah.
You know, which is always a fun phenomenon to look at in a player. And I think it happens with edge guys if they compile like a handful of really freaky highlights.
Yeah, he was compared to like Julius Peppers. The difference is like Julius Peppers is one of the best athletes the NFL has ever seen.
Yeah, he was a generational athlete and a handful to block.
Yeah, I mean he was 6'7", 290. He was the starting power forward for a ACC winning basketball team.
Like, and he was good. Yeah. Like he was noticeable.
Yeah, like a double-double threat kind of guy. Exactly. And Clowney was just big.
Yeah.
He was straight line fast, but he's still been a good – he's a tackles for loss guy, not a sack guy.
Totally, totally.
He has no bend. He has no moves.
Yeah.
But he can physically dominate a tackle. He can control the line of scrimmage.
Sure.
He can be part of a good defense.
Right.
But he should just be paid, you know, $6 million a year, not 16.
Yeah, he's a piece, not a centerpiece.
Yeah.
Let's go to the AFC West.
Oh, please, let's get away from the Titans.
Denver Broncos lost their best running back and did kind of nothing else exciting.
Yeah, and who cares?
Yeah, I'm not a Broncos guy. The best quarterback in their building is still John Elway.
Yeah.
They're a mess.
The Chiefs are really interesting.
The Chiefs are fascinating. They lose their two tackles. They bring in two potentially elite guards, one that we know is elite and durable in Joe Tooney, one that used to be elite and had injury problems in Kyle Long. But I'm kind of buying Kyle Long stock just because I like him as a guy.
And letting their two offensive tackles go sounds utterly disastrous. Which, if you remember, if you remember the Super Bowl, it was. But they're both. One of them is going to miss a good chunk of the season because it was an Achilles injury, and the other one's coming off of a severe back injury. Now, Mitchell Schwartz is one of the best right tackles in the league.
Yeah.
When he's healthy,
right?
If he's healthy,
he's getting to be the wrong age.
Yeah. I hope the Vikings sign like an incentive laden deal with him where it's like, we'll sign
you awesome.
$2 million base salary with potential to make like $18 million or something.
Well, and the Vikings are the perfect destination for a guy like that in that you need just a competent NFL tackle. And it's a great dice roll to make where if you're getting the right Mitchell Schwartz, you're getting an elite guy still. But I also think moving on from him may have been the right move for the Chiefs. So they sign a couple of guards.
And building the inside of your offensive line has never been more important than it is now.
That's right.
Because a quick passing game, it's the middle pass rush that disrupts it. So if you can solidify that, you're good to go.
Maybe you can find a tackle.
They got
place.
Absolutely pistol whipped late in the playoffs. So.
They sure did. Yeah, they sure did. Let's talk about the Raiders. What a disaster.
Always fascinating in like a car crash way.
Yeah, total car crash. I'm looking at these signings, and I want to talk offensive line because
they're morons?
Because they're crazy.
Yeah.
They have one of the best centers in the league in Rodney Hudson. They let him go.
Who the Chiefs traded for. So that wasn't part of their free agent signing. So two guards and Rodney
Hudson. The Cardinals got Rodney Hudson.
The Chiefs were rumored.
Yeah, the Chiefs were rumored. So Rodney Hudson gone. Trent Brown gone. They re-signed Richie Incognito, who I will always be a fan of.
They got Nick Martin,
which
is pretty good.
Is pretty good, yeah. You know, they signed Yannick Ngakoue, which I don't know if Ngakoue is a real guy or if the good production was just the outlier and a.
I think Ngakoue is a little bit Trey Hendrickson-ish
in that he was the beneficiary of playing with great people.
He was on a really filthy defense
in
Jacksonville for a couple years and had big production and then hasn't since.
Yeah.
And when he moved to the Vikings and their defensive line was very unhealthy, he was entirely forgettable. They traded him to the Ravens, who had a good defense, but they have a weird system because they don't have like hand in the dirt pass rushers, and that's kind of what he is.
Yeah.
So like, is he going to be good? I don't know, but I don't know that I would have paid him $13 million a year.
Well, the Raiders did, and that's a thing that the Raiders do, yet there's nothing that they've done that inspires me to think that they're going to be anything more than a 7-9, 8-8 type of team.
I will say, so if you'd like to know why I hate the Patriots signing Nelson Agholor for $13 million a year, it's because the Raiders replaced him with John Brown for $3.5 million a year.
That's true.
And John Brown is a better player.
Sure.
Like, that's the kind of thing you can do in free agency. The Patriots would have been better off with John Brown at $4 million than Nelson Agholor at $12 million or whatever it was.
Totally.
I kind of dig the Zay Jones
Yeah.
He's had some games.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that, like, you get excited about the tools.
The one signing that they made that I really like, Solomon Thomas.
Yeah.
He was a top five pick.
Yeah.
He's never lived up to it. But $5 million to give a guy a shot.
It's a cheap dice roll, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
They almost never work out, but that's why they're called dice rolls.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I think Al Davis said it. He's like, always take a chance on a former, you know, high first rounder.
Yeah.
If you can get him at a bargain, why not?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, the problem is Al Davis also took chances on the high rounders and got those wrong, too.
He totally did.
He's like,
he got a lot of those wrong.
A 4-2.
If this wide receiving core, John Brown, Zay Jones, Henry Ruggs, if they all hit the, like,
got,
the,
who else do they have? They got a big downfield threat. Used to be in the Chargers, I think.
And they still have the tight end.
Yeah.
They still have
Weller.
Yeah, Weller, who's a great receiver. I mean, if they all show out at, like, a ceiling level of what their potential is, this could be a fun offense. But the offensive line is the big question mark,
man,
right?
I just almost looked up Oakland Raiders. They are the Las Vegas Raiders, which I have not gotten used to at all.
Me neither. Me neither.
Is it Darren Weller? Is that his
Darren
name?
Waller, yeah.
Waller, not Weller. Yeah. Darren Waller is, I mean, he's a top three tight end.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's really good.
Where are you at on the Cowboys? Let's go to the NFC East.
Quick word. We skipped the Chargers.
Yeah.
The one thing they did that I thought was great was getting Corey Linsley.
Yep.
I love it for two reasons. One, they have a young quarterback, so a smart, really good center is a great move.
Yeah.
Second, he's no longer on the Packers, and as a Vikings fan, I'm thrilled. Okay, moving on. Where am I on the Cowboys?
Yeah.
They go as Dak goes.
Yeah, yeah.
If Dak is back and healthy, their offense is scary.
Not a lot to say about the Cowboys.
Their receiving core is real exciting.
Yeah.
Dak was on pace to break every NFL passing record
through
like six games, and then his leg broke in 17 pieces. So if he's healthy, they're great.
We're going to talk about the Giants a minute because
they're quickly reaching Titans.
They are, but like, let's look at their two receiver signings. Kenny Galladay, they paid a lot for.
Yeah.
John Ross, they took the ultimate cheap dice roll on a toolsy guy.
The fact that the Raiders didn't sign John Ross is astounding because he's the fastest guy in his draft class and he sucks. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you get Galladay, you get John Ross, you get Kyle Rudolph, who we talked about off the air as like a good late career post up.
I like Kyle Rudolph for that because they also have who's the guy they drafted like 13 overall? Is it Evan somebody or other?
Yeah, Evan Ingram.
Ingram, yeah, and Ingram is like the move tight end.
Yeah.
He's never lived up to it, but like Rudolph's a great counterpart to that because he's a very good blocker.
Mm-hmm.
He's got great hands and he's 6'6 and he's a good red zone guy.
Yeah.
But he's never going to get more than like 45 catches in a season. So he's going to help that offense. I think Rudolph's a good signing.
What's Danny Dimes' ceiling as a comp? Like when you think about comparisons for Daniel Jones, what's his ceiling? Like how good could he be?
Man, so here's the thing. We were talking about this. The quarterback position today is so hard to figure out because you have your like five elite guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Mahomes, Rodgers, Russell Wilson. I'm sure I missed a couple. I think Brady's still in that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Deshaun Watson. And then you get like 15 guys who are all like elite 11 camp guys. And you're like, I don't know if these guys are.
Yeah.
They're just system guys. And so you have to kind of go back a ways and think like who's – I don't know, like what, Drew Bledsoe or something?
Yeah, maybe somebody like that. I was almost going to say
Bledsoe was a statue though, and Jones is fairly athletic. Like,
yeah,
different.
I was almost going to say, and I lost my page that I was looking at. Free agency tracker. Here we go. A good Daniel Jones could almost be like Carson Wentz in a good season. You know, maybe not that good, but
what is Carson Wentz's ceiling? I mean, maybe we saw it. Maybe it's 2017.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the team in the NFC East who I think could be really sneaky good, and it's Washington. Washington has like
their defense,
a Super Bowl level defense.
Yeah, they
had a garbage offense last year, but they have interesting guys. I want to talk about them.
Okay.
They bring back Brandon Scherff. I like that as an O-line guy.
Yeah, he's one of the better guards.
One of the better guards in the league. They signed Curtis Samuel, who's a really interesting toolsy like piece at receiver. They still have who's the receiver that we like
McLaurin.
From them? Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin.
And they bring in Fitzmagic, which I've heard this signing panned, and I've heard
And they got, was it Antonio Gibson? Is that his
name? Yeah, Antonio Gibson.
Who's a running back, but also a great receiving threat, big play guy.
Exactly.
And really kind of showed out as a rookie.
I like the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing because I think he's having a Vinny Testaverde-esque late career renaissance that actually makes him viable for a few years because his style ages well.
Yeah.
His age doesn't bother me. And in an NFL quarterback market where...
His style, he's going to go until his arm falls off because, because he's not a... He doesn't rely on athleticism.
And he's actually cleaned up some of the turnover stuff to where his disastrous games are less frequent and they're not as disastrous.
Yeah.
And if you've got a great defense and you've got an offense with some upside, I actually don't hate this and I think I like it. And I think they could be the best team in that division. It's not going to be Philly. It's not going to be the Giants. The Cowboys will go as Dak goes. We'll see how he comes back from that injury.
It seems to me like it's between Washington and Dallas, and both of them could be like well into the winning percentage.
For sure.
We're talking like 10 to 13 wins.
Yeah.
Now, I think Fitz has a ceiling on him because I don't think he's consistent enough. Like when he's on, he's like 400 yards and four touchdowns on. But he's not the guy who you're like, all right, it's, 24 to 20. There's a minute and a half left and we've got the ball on our own 25 yard line. Take us to a touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't trust him at all.
No.
And so the other thing about Washington that puts them in a weird spot. Now I think they've been building a team really well.
Mm-hmm.
Fitz might be the wrong quarterback for them because they need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he might lead them to 10 or 11 wins, which means they're going to draft in the 20s.
They're always going to be in purgatory.
Yeah, so they're never going to get the Justin Fields or whoever.
Yeah.
However, as we discovered this year, like Matthew Stafford was available by trade.
Sure.
And Carson Wentz was available by trade. And hopefully next year, Kirk Cousins is available by trade.
Yeah, exactly.
Now he's not going back to Washington.
Well, make him available.
That would be funny.
It would be funny.
So they can get a real NFL quarterback.
Sure.
Yeah, I think if they had a real NFL quarterback, like a top 12 guy.
Yeah.
Like, had they gotten Stafford?
Yeah.
They're the favorites in this division.
Sure.
Fitz is just a wild card.
He's a wild card.
Yeah.
But I think in this offseason, and this is a bridge to the next team we'll talk about, I'd rather have a wild card than have Andy Dalton than Nick Foles, which is what Bear fans have.
This has been pointed out by Robert Mays and others.
Yeah.
So give credit where it's due. I did not come up with this idea. But mm-hmm. The fact that the Bears signed Andy Dalton while they have Nick Foles is so delightful to me.
Now, sure.
It made Robert Mays cry because he's a Bears fan. It made me laugh because I'm a Vikings fan.
Of course. Because
they could have had Andy Dalton last year for free.
Yeah.
I mean, for money.
Yeah.
But instead, they traded a high draft pick for Nick Foles and paid him $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have him.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have Andy Dalton. So this is the whole thing about this is just it just makes me a little bit gleeful.
This was great news for the rest of the NFC North. The Lions, I mean, look, the Lions are always turning over coaches and front offices, and there's always a sense of
and the Bears should be turning over their front office.
The Bears should be turning over their front office. I want to talk about what they've done that I've liked. And
well, that was quick.
Yeah. They've kind of kept the receiving core at an above water level of interesting, in as much as
they have Allen Robinson.
No, I'm talking Lions.
Oh,
now.
Lions! I thought you were talking about the Bears. And I was what?
Yeah. So the Lions bring in Breshad Perriman, Tyrell Williams, both cheaper than the receivers who they would have had to keep in free agency. Michael Brockers. They re-signed Romeo Okwara. So they're doing things here. Here's what I don't get about the Lions.
I do like the moves along their defensive line.
I like it too, but they're moves that teams who are trying to win make.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know about that. But I'm all about keeping good players, right?
So the Brockers one I really liked because he was mm-hmm. going to get cut. And
yeah,
so they basically absorbed him into cap space.
Yeah.
And, so they have a new coaching staff. Like, here's the thing. Even if you're a really bad NFL team,
mm-hmm.
you have to be adequate or people start to get, like, people get killed.
Yeah, that's true.
So guys like Brockers, who are just a solid player, mm-hmm. matter. Romeo Okwara was a guy who they drafted in the middle rounds.
He was a good player.
And, like, last year he kind of exploded, and he still has potential. Like, he has, like, Danielle Hunter potential. Like,
he does.
He's long and explosive. Yeah. He's really good. So re-signing him, that makes sense.
Here's the thing. I could see a world in which the Lions surprise people with how adequate they are this year in the sense that they get Jamal Williams from the Packers to be a change-up guy with DeAndre Swift. They're going to run the ball a lot.
Both those guys are good receivers.
Yeah, they're both good receivers.
Because he's not a good quarterback.
They're going to run a lot of play action. That's gonna help Goff. They've got an ascendant young tight end in T.J. Hockenson. Yeah. They could be decent.
I really think their wide receivers are utter trash, though.
They could be utter trash.
Brashad Perriman has two good games a year. Tyrell Williams makes four deep catches a year that make highlights.
That's true.
They're not good players.
I'm trying to see the good in it.
Yeah. They're great athletes.
They're
not good players.
They are great athletes. So let's go to your team, Pipe.
Well, can we talk about the Packers real quick?
Yeah.
Simply because I like to crap on the Packers.
Sure.
So the Packers did two things. They let Corey Linsley walk and they re-signed Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
For the same money.
Yeah.
That's a bad trade.
Yeah, I agree.
In NFL value, having a top three or four center is way more valuable than having a top 10 running back.
Right. Especially when you invested in running back in last year's draft.
When you took A.J. Dillon in the second round. So I would just like to say thank you to the Packers for making that decision. I think Jones is a very good player.
Yeah.
I think that was a very bad trade. Okay, Vikings. Yes.
All right, Vikings.
I think this is our last team too, isn't it? No, we still got
the South. We got one division. Yeah, we got the South. Yeah. I don't know. I don't see the Vikings as a team that's going anywhere.
The Vikings are their ceiling is wild card.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, they win the division. Mm-hmm. But as long as he is healthy, they're the second team in the division.
Sure.
Wild card. The two things that they did that I thought were good moves.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Dalvin Tomlinson signing.
Yeah.
I think it was a little too much money, mm-hmm. but in the words of Robert Mays, they are going to be a pain in the A mm-hmm. to play against for other teams in the middle of that line. Hard to run on. Some people think he has potential as a pass rusher, whatever. Mm. So solidify the middle of that defense. I like the Patrick Peterson signing, although, again, maybe a little too much money.
Yeah.
Because they have really young defensive backs, but that gives them three starting quality corners, one of whom is a all-time professional.
Yeah.
And that helps.
Yeah.
It also frees them up in the draft to not have to take a corner in the second round or mm-hmm. a defensive tackle in the first round. And they can draft based on best player available mixed with need rather than just need. So I think it solidifies, but like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
With Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, you're never going to win a Super Bowl. And they didn't have enough money to make big splashes. But I thought these were these were acceptable.
They were decent.
Yeah,
they were decent.
It helped where there were needs.
You're gambling on the Lions sucking, which they probably will. The Bears getting worse, which they probably will.
Yeah.
And maybe the Packers getting worse.
Yeah, I think the Packers will still be good. The Packers are just Rodgers.
They're good.
Rodgers played some of his best football last year. They're scary as all get out.
Yeah.
I think if the Vikings don't put three draft picks into the offensive line, fire everybody.
Yeah.
Like the fact they have been criminally negligent in their offensive line after paying skill position players. And that's just
absolutely stupid. Yeah. You can't win that way. Yeah. NFC South.
Boring.
I don't see a world in which the Bucks don't win 13 games again. Like,
I'm looking at the Panthers did a couple. Just one interesting thing. They signed Reddick. The Saints did one very interesting thing in that they re-signed, who's their quarterback? Who's a fake quarterback?
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill to like a 5-year, $140 million contract.
It's all fake money.
With 4 years that are voidable.
Exactly.
I don't even understand that.
Yeah. They basically signed him to a 1-year deal.
If Tampa doesn't win 13 to 15 games in the 17 game season, like that division's bad.
Yeah. It's really bad and it's kind of boring and.
I mean, Atlanta's going to figure out how to put up a bunch of points if Matt Ryan's healthy.
Yeah.
Carolina is kind of doing the Jets thing where they're like building in a solid way, but until they have a quarterback who matters, like
it's kind of moot.
I have an abiding affection for Teddy Bridgewater.
I do too.
But I do think he showed himself to be sort of the Jacoby Brissett high quality.
We saw the ceiling.
Makes me a little sad. I thought he was going to be better, but whatever. Total. The Saints are a wild card because Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill are both kind of not real NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And the Bucs have re-signed everybody, and they're just running it back plus draft picks.
Dude, let's go to the NFC West. The Cardinals are doing some fun things.
And some weird things.
And some very weird things. But one thing that they did that I loved is getting Rodney Hudson.
Yes.
Via trade. That was a great get for them. A head scratcher for the Raiders to let him go. He makes them better immediately. They bring in old AJ Green. They bring in old JJ Watt. I don't know what I think about these things.
Yeah, me either. They way overpaid JJ Watt.
Totally. JJ Watt, I've been sort of...
They would have been better giving Carl Lawson the contract he got.
Yeah.
Or Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
Like, J.J. Watt is living on reputation. He's still a decent player, but, like, he's living on reputation.
I kind of like J.J. Watt in, like, a late-career Charles Haley role. You have to use him like a reliever, though. You know what I mean? You can't have him in the starting rotation.
He has to be willing to do that, and I think he is.
Yeah, he still sees himself as, like, 2013 J.J. Watt.
Yeah, they only made one move that I think is good, and it was Hudson.
Yeah.
Trading a third-round pick for the best center in the NFL is...
Absolutely, you got to do it.
...acceptable move, especially when Kyler Murray got sacked 722 times last year.
Where are we at on the Rams? What does the Stafford thing do for you?
The Rams are, I mean,
I like the,
I think Stafford. So first of all, Stafford has never been in a consistently good system.
Yeah.
Cause they've switched systems. He was like West Coast and he's downfield or he's West Coast and he's run heavy.
Yeah. The organization's been a disaster for his entire pro career.
We've seen him throw for 5,000 yards. Yeah. We've seen him with great receivers. We've seen him in some decent systems.
Yeah.
He has at least two really good receivers, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are both good. And a third receiver, Josh, is it Morgan?
Yeah. Josh Morgan, maybe. Yeah.
Who's a good third receiver. They have a good running game. They've invested in that. They have a smart coach. I think what this is, if Stafford sucks this year, McVay might be gone.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had a great couple of years offensively. Like when they went to the Super Bowl, they were great right up until they got figured out.
Right.
He has not adjusted to being figured out well.
He hasn't.
Now, Stafford, I know,
mm-hmm.
way better than Goff.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
Maybe it's not that McVay got figured out. Maybe it's that Goff got figured out.
That could be. That's the narrative they're definitely going with. I like a team who's always trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, as a fan, you got to like that.
The Rams are fun because, they never stop taking swings.
Yeah.
The Stafford move was a swing, and I'm like, all right, go for it. That's fun.
Absolutely, dude.
I don't think re-signing Leonard Floyd was at that money was great.
Yeah.
But it's 32 guaranteed, so it's $8 million a year.
Yeah.
He probably deserved 6.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
You got Leonard Floyd. You got to have somebody on the outside who can take advantage of Aaron Donald destroying people.
Yeah. And he was the beneficiary of that for sure. Yeah. On his own, I don't think he's that good. The Niners.
They did one thing.
Alex Mack?
Yeah.
I'm excited about Alex. Because
the rest were basically re-signing.
The best. Yeah. Juszczyk the rest were re-signing.
Was re-signing. Jason Verrett was a re-signing, which I think both those are good moves. Alex Mack coming in at center.
With a healthy Jimmy G, it's a good football team.
It's going to help them a lot.
Absolutely.
Alex Mack, he knows Shanahan's system. He's played his best under Shanahan. He's gonna do some damage for sure.
Seahawks are the last team.
Have they done anything?
They re-sign Chris Carson. They get Gerald Everett from the Rams, which is...
I like the Gabe Jackson signing.
I like Gabe Jackson a lot. Part of the Raiders' offensive line purge, again... Scratching your head if you're a Raiders fan.
The Seahawks are kind of like the Vikings in that their offensive line has just been not good for a while. And so getting a real professional offensive lineman for a fifth-round pick,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
I want to go a couple minutes on like how you feel about Russell Wilson just as a football star. I think he's a
human.
I think he's a whack job, and he would be like – he brings a Kirk Cousins level of cheesiness and unlikability to the table. He's a better player, but...
Man, that's something.
He's just a weird guy.
Yeah.
You know? Where are you at on him?
I cannot... So, Russell Wilson does things that nobody else in the NFL can do.
Yeah.
Like, he is consistently the best like deep ball converter in mm-hmm. the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's an incredible playmaker.
Yeah.
I don't know that he runs an offensive system super well.
Right.
He's been on a weird team his whole career.
Yeah.
Like the Seahawks have been a weird team. They've been super run heavy. They've been super like Legion of Boom-ish.
Yeah.
You know, Pete Carroll's a weirdo.
Yes.
You got all this stuff going on. And so he's never just been in like a, you know, like the Patriots are like steady as she goes for 20 years.
Right.
I don't know what to make of Wilson. I will say, if they'd like to try Kirk Cousins instead of Russell Wilson, I would like to give the Vikings permission to make that deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you do that 100 times.
I'm not. His weirdness doesn't bother me in the slightest. There's weird sports stars all the time.
Yeah.
Like teammates generally roll their eyes and are like, yeah, but what do they do on the field?
That's
like,
it.
Do they show up in practice? Do they show up in games?
Cool. He's a great on the field guy, of course.
Yeah. And I think his work ethic is like...
I think it is. It's off the charts. He's a pro.
It matches the excellence he has delivered.
Yeah, he's not a lazy weirdo at all. But yeah, just an interesting NFL personality, Russell Wilson. Well, Pipe, we've done what we always do in this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout the entirety of NFL free agency up to this point.
Yeah, for more than an hour.
It's been comprehensive for more than an hour. It's been fun. It's been a while since we taped a sports app. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Scott. As a servant of God, wife, and mother of four, I understand the juggle of multiple roles and stages. That's why I created the Encourager podcast, to help guide us through the messy middle stage of life. Join me on the Encourager as we challenge the chaos and embrace harmony. Together, we'll create practical systems to balance your roles and fulfill priorities. And we will do it while having joy and energy for both home and work life. Tune in for inspiring stories and interviews, actionable tips, and methods to do both home and work life. Because here, we believe you can do all things, just not all at once.